completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to LindaMonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. And leave me a voicemail on the feedback. You may even be on my show. I want to take this opportunity to thank my guests for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping those nuggets to help you live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad Detail, Terry Ingram Sr., EEO and owner. Half wheels will clean. Today, I know I told you last week that I would have a special guest. So I do. He is so, so awesome. Y'all are going to be so excited to hear these nuggets he's getting ready to drop on you. So let me go ahead and introduce him. His name is Jeff A. Hood. He's currently serving as the CEO for the National Association of Police Athletic Activities Lead Incorporation organization since September of 2017. Since joining the National PAL, the organization has experienced significant growth in the areas of brand awareness, chapter membership, budget enhancement, youth engagement, and event activation. He also, in 2010, in an effort to honor and pay tribute to his mother, Doris Hoodie Hood, who is a retired educator with the New York City Board of Education and a devoted community youth advocate, Jeff founded the Hoodie's House of Hope for Youth Foundation, whose mission is in aiding in addressing homelessness, hunger, education, leadership development, mentoring, and out-of-school time programs. And how many of you know we need to keep these youth busy so they don't go into that pipeline prison system, okay? He's a native of Queens, New York, is a graduate of North Carolina Wesleyan College, where he received a BA degree. In September 2007, Jeff was inducted to the North Carolina Wesleyan Sports Hall of Fame after completing a stellar basketball career. He is married to Gloria Hood, and together they have one wonderful daughter named Maya. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
I am well. Good afternoon to you as well. And all of that means is just that I'm old and a lot going on, but it's all good, and it's great to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, you know, I was on a cruise with Miles Monroe, and he said the graveyard is the richest place on the earth because most people don't find their purpose, but seem like God had given you one and you are working this purpose. Now, Jeff, I do have one question that I need to ask you. What has been the lowest point in your life and how has it propelled you to where you are today?
You know, it's interesting you ask that. The lowest point was actually one of my highest points, right? For me, it came when the realization was that I grew up poor or underserved, right, from a community standpoint. You know, growing up in inner city Queens, New York, you know, nobody in our community had nothing, so you didn't know you was poor until it was time for me to leave to go to college. And then I go into college and I'm like seeing all these other students, you know, coming in with all these other things and driving cars and all of this. I'm like, wow, what is this about? You know, but I wouldn't change it for anything though, because I think it really helped me to understand the grind, and it helped me to understand what fighting is about. You know, not physical fighting, but mental fighting, you know, and it helped me to understand to be able to be successful and to get the great things that you may want out of life. It's not just from my standpoint about what God blesses you with. You know, it's also about what you add to what God has given you to be successful in life as well. So I look at it from that point that, you know, growing up with less than, you know, helped to propel me to where I, you know, whatever I may have amassed and achieved to this point. And, you know, it helped me to get to this point, and it allowed me to understand the fight and the grind. Unlike, you know, I think some people not necessarily can relate to that because they didn't have to come up fighting. You know, I did, you know, both physically and mentally, and I'm thankful for it, and God has a way of blessing me continuously.
Well, that is so awesome, because I know, like when I was talking to you, I used to come to Queens, New York every summer. My brother lives right off of Something Boulevard, and actually he lived right around the corner from 50 Cent, but of course, you know, he's quite younger than I am, so I didn't have the opportunity, but seems like a lot of good things is coming out of Queens, New York.
Oh, is there anywhere else for anything to come from? I mean, it's,
listen,
I mean, hey, that's what we do. I mean, you know, Queens is it. I mean, like, you know, we got LL Cool J, we got Run DMC, we got, I mean, it's there's so many. I would be here literally all day talking about the wonderful people that have come from Queens. And even, you know, not too far from us, you know, when you know, you left the inner city and went to it got a little bit better. You know, we even had, like, James Brown lived in Queens. And,
oh, that
you know,
is
Lena
right.
Horn, I mean, all of these people lived in Queens, you know. So, yeah, it's a good place to have come from, and proud of it, and still proud of it.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, they're going back, pouring into their communities, and that's, you know, what's so good about it. They just didn't obtain that fame and say, well, you know, I'm going to forget where I came from. They're going
right
back and pouring into the youth just as you are. Even though you're not in Queens, you're definitely pouring into the youth here in our state.
Oh, no, I still pour into Queens as well now. Let's not get it twisted.
Okay.
I still do
okay
things in New York as well. You know, I still do things and try to, you know, be as much of a blessing as I can. You know, my mom is still in Queens, and, you know, I still have family in Queens. So, you know, we still represent in Queens, and, you know, and we'll always look to do as much as we can there as well, because that's where it started, you know.
Right, right. But I know I asked you, coming out of New York, why did you choose the state of North Carolina to go to school?
Well, you know, having gone to, like you mentioned, having gone to North Carolina Wesleyan College in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, right? So this was going to be the first time of any extended period of time that I was going to be away from home. So I wanted to try and go to college somewhere where I had some relatives or family somewhat close by. And near Rocky Mount, North Carolina, my dad's side of the family, my mom's side is from Brooklyn, New York. My dad's side of the family is from Wilson and Clayton, North Carolina, which was, you know, about 30, 35, 40 minutes away. So, you know, knowing that I was going to probably have some homesick, you know, times and all of that, at least when those times kicked in, I was close by some other family to be able to call upon or for them to come to the school and come get me and, you know, hang out with me a little bit. So that's why I wound up, you know, choosing to go to school at North Carolina Wesleyan. Along with, of course, basketball, of course, but, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing because I'm like, okay, he's a basketball stellar. So why not Well, you saying you came because of the closeness of the relatives. So you didn't even consider Carolina or Duke?
Actually, it was reverse. Actually, it was Carolina and Duke didn't consider me.
Well, listen.
Yeah, I was a little late bloomer. You know, when I came out of high school, I was okay, you know, and all. But I would like to say that I definitely wound up hitting more of my stride when I got into college and then had the opportunity even at that point to transfer to some higher even level schools and what have you. But I wound up staying where I was and enjoyed it. It was tough in the beginning, you know, but that as well was a part of one of those things that helped me to grow up and to be more self-sufficient and not quit on struggle. You know, it was tough, like I said, at first, but I didn't want to give up on it. I wanted to stick it out, and I did, and it all worked out for the best.
Now, did you go to pro after college or not?
I flirted a little bit with the NBA. You know, I was in camp with the Boston Celtics and all in 83. And, you know, but because of some injury and, you know, and all as well, I had to wind up leaving the game alone. I didn't even have opportunity to wind up go overseas and all that because of you know, injury and knee and all of that. But yeah, I was in the Boston Celtics camp and all that in 83. And, you know, and again, things just didn't work out. I know that God had a better plan for me. And that was for him to endear me to work more with young people. And that was my gift, you know, and it's still my gift to this day that I love working with young people.
Now, did you know that growing up? Because, I mean, I'm a visionary, so I knew, you know, I was put here for certain things to do. So did you feel that as growing up? That would be your calling, that you would help these youth not go through the pipeline of our mass incarceration system here?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because, again, I got it, honestly. My mom, having worked in New York City Board of Education, you know, for a very long time, and even within our community, you know, my mom was always one of those that gave back to community and gave back to other young people in the community. She would be one of the moms that was always volunteering to help different initiatives and things like that. So, you know, really I got it from her, you know, and watching her and seeing her and seeing how much she was pouring into people, you know, and even like when I went to college, you know, and was playing ball, you know, I was always one of the guys on the team that was volunteering to help, you know, youth organizations or go do basketball clinics, you know, at youth places and, you know, and that type of thing. And then, you know, after I stopped playing ball and all of that, it went straight in that path and haven't looked back since. But, yeah, I kind of had a feeling that nonprofit work and service work was where it's going to be for me.
Yeah, me too, because it was like, you know, most people, this was a selfish world. I grew up sheltered in Lawrenburg, North Carolina, and as we were talking in our conversation, your school was rivalry against mine, so, you know, you had to go against our one-man basketball team, Will Peterson, from the island.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. He and I had some serious battles, I tell you, you know. But I even cherish that as well. You know, he helped to elevate, you know, my game and all of that. And I would think that, you know, he would probably say the same thing, you know, because I know I gave him fits and he gave me
right.
fits. And, you know, but we still produced, you know, at a very high level and enjoyed that combativeness of going against each other. And, you know, while we were playing and all, I didn't like him. He probably ain't like me either, you
probably
know, but that was just a competitive. Probably not, but that was just the competitiveness, you know, of both of us. And, you know, so it was a cool time, you know, for us to go up against each other. But, yeah, St. Andrews was definitely one of those games on the schedule that you looked to see when you played them because you knew it was going to be a fight and you wanted to make sure you was giving it your best.
Now, were you excited when you know you had to go against Will?
Oh, no question. No question. My thing in that was, you know, because he was, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Will was the leading scorer in our conference at the time.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, and I would always tell my coach, I want to guard him. I don't want to guard nobody else. I want him.
Exactly.
And that's what it was, you know, and he and I battled and, you know, and I know even like my senior year, we played them for the conference championship and all of that at our place. And it didn't turn out too well for him, but it was good though.
Yeah, well, at least he put my little college on the world's map. So
He did.
North Carolina. Now, what made you really focus on the police and the youth getting together as one? Because, you know, in our country right now, they're basically killing all our youth. So how did that portion of your serving come across?
Well, I grew up in Queens, you know, I grew up in the same organization, you know, the Police Athletic League, you know, which is PAL, the PAL program. When I was growing up in Queens, New York, I grew up in PAL as well, you know, so I knew about those relationships. I knew about, you know, for every instance that there may have been with a George Floyd type situation, not all cops are that way. You know, and I tell people, I says, look, you know, are there some bad cops out there or bad law enforcement officers out there? Sure are. I ain't going to sugarcoat that at all. Mm-hmm. You know, but in that same token, you know, are there some bad kids out there and all that? There sure are, you know,
right.
And, you know, it just is, you know, and I'm not trying to say that in any way to try and take the focus off of, you know, the plight that's going on within law enforcement of shooting and those types of issues, you know, but I think we as a collective group, we need to all put it all on the table. Right. Are there, like I said, are there bad law enforcement officers out there? There sure are, you know, but there's also some bad kids out there too, you know, and to that same token, yes, I wholeheartedly like the guy Chauvin that, you know, murdered George Floyd, you know, yeah, I hope he gets everything that he's supposed to get, you know, to him. You know, from a penalty standpoint, you know, but in all of that, I don't want that to totally be the whole cry of that solves all of the ill will within our communities, right?
Right.
You know, and trust me, I'm separating them. I want those police officers or law enforcement officers that do wrong, they need to be penalized. They do, unquestionably. But the same way that's wrong, it's also wrong within our community when Pookie is shooting and killing Ray Ray, too.
Right, right.
And we need to deal with that, too. You know, and again, I'm not giving law enforcement a pass. I hope people listen and hear that. I'm not trying to give law enforcement a pass. They need to be dealt with, for sure. But in that same token, we need to deal with Pookie and Ray Ray in our communities that are shooting others that look like them, and that's just as bad as well.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why, you know, the drugs have infiltrated the communities. there in North Carolina, and that's an agenda. And this is what these young kids don't understand. And, you know, I tell them, look, you have two choices with drugs. You're either going to go to prison for a long period of time, or you're going to end up dead. Right. I mean, so which way you want to go?
The game hasn't changed. This game has been out there a long time. You know, it's been there a long time. It ain't changing. But, you know, that's why we have to continue to pour into our young people, you know, of, hey, man, you know, there's other ways to try and make it. I get the fact that, you know, there's issues with that may be within your home, within your community and all of that. But don't add to it. And let's not always look to take the shortcut out, you know, by trying to rob somebody or, you know, steal and break into somebody else's house, you know, and do it that way. Because then you're only hurting your own community, too. You know, let's try and do something of a more positive nature. You know, okay, if you don't want to graduate high school, okay, well, let's get you into some kind of a trade, you know, school situation. You know, okay, you want it, you know, we hear a lot of, well, I don't want to work for nobody, and all, okay, so then what are we going to do to correct that? Are you going to look to try to be an entrepreneur, you know, in some way, so that then you can own what it is that you're thinking about or you're trying to do? You know, so let's take the excuses out of it, and let's dig deep into, you know, what it is, honestly, that we can do to be able to help our young people so that our young people aren't growing up and being on that fast track to prison, you know, and then being there and you know, having issues all along the way. So, yeah.
Right. That is so, because, I mean, you know, I do prison ministry, so I'm like, send me them drug dealers, because, you know, they got the mindset. They just used it in the wrong way. Because it's some smart jokers, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And I'll tell you this, you didn't say this, but, you know, I actually worked in, matter of fact, after I played ball and finished playing ball, my first job after playing ball was actually working at Central Prison in Raleigh in the
maximum
security prison, you know, in North Carolina. And, you know, so I know what that's like. I know who's in there. I know who's not in there. I know what that whole climate is about. You know, I worked at Central Prison for 3 years, you know, before I wound up moving on to other things, you know. And so I know that there's smart, intelligent people, you know, that are in there, you know. And the thing that I looked at is, you know, and they used to call me the way I'm going to put this, but they used to call me the Black Andy Griffith, right? Because, yeah, they did, you know, because a lot of times when it came time for me to either have to transport, you know, an inmate or something, you know, you'd have to put them in cuffs and, you know, and shackles and all this stuff and whatnot. And a lot of times I'd be like, yo, man, come on, it's time for you to either go to the hospital or go, you know, wherever I was needing to take them. And I would just give them the cuffs and like, yo, man, come on, put the cuffs on, let's go. You know, and people would be like, what the heck are you doing? I was like, look, man, because my thing was this. There's no difference between me and that inmate. The difference at that point in my life, growing up with how I grew up and doing some things here or there, the difference is they got caught. I didn't.
Exactly. You know?
So why would I try and treat them as less than, right, you know, when so no. So, yeah, a lot of times I'd be like, they'd be like, yo, see your hood, man, come on. I was like, yo, come on, man. You know the deal. Come on. Here, put these things on and let's go, man. Let's go. Come on. You know, so they'd be like, all right, man, all right. And they put them on.
I know that shocked them, Jeff.
It did. You know.
And you don't have somebody treat them like a human being in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it was. You know, I would take time to talk with them and conversate with them, and there was some moments and all, but I really didn't worry about anybody in there. I really didn't, you know, because the way that I carried myself, I didn't go in there trying to be John Wayne, you know, or the next, you know, dude or whatever. I was like, nah, that person deserves respect like I'm expecting them to respect me. Exactly. You know, and the thing that I tell them is like, yo, look, let me explain this to you. I'm here. I got a job to do. Now, if you do something in front of me, what do you think I'm supposed to do? Just keep turning my eye, you know, and not do my job. And then you risking my opportunity to make a wage, make a living, and all because of you. So first thing, if you're going to do something, you better not do it in front of me, because you do it in front of me, we're going to have to deal with it and handle it. And we're going to handle it, you know? So I talked to them in general conversation, and I was respected for that. And I gave them respect in return. And, you know, and that's why, again, you know, I had guys, even when I was telling them that I was going to leave after 3 years, they was like, oh, man, you need to come back and visit us and all of this. you know, I ain't do all of that, but, you know, there were some that did write me, you know, and I wrote them back, you know, and that type of thing, you know. But yeah, you treat people like you'd like to be treated, and don't pass judgment because, you know, for the grace of God, go out, you know.
Yeah, because I worked at the chaplaincy department. My job was to help inmates transition back into society and associate them with a church in their communities. But, Jeff, I tell you, that was the hardest job I've ever had to encounter, because pastors just wasn't willing to work with me to help these people come back and transition successfully. I couldn't believe it, because I'm like, I serve a God of a second chance. Now, you call yourself a pastor, what God are you serving? We must not be serving the same one, because God will give you chance after chance after chance till you make up your mind that you really need him.
Yeah. But, you know, I tell you, and that's tough, you know, because, again, there's a number of pastors that are out there who want to do right. They want to do good and all that, but they also have to report to a board and to a congregation and a deacon board and all of that as well. And, you know, so sometimes they may take the hit, you know, for others that are saying or prefer that these types of things not happen, right? So you really can't always blame the pastor. And the reason why I say that so knowingly now is because the church I belong to, you know, I'm you know, in on a number of those type decisions and hear people and all as well, and it's unfortunate, you know, but I'll put it this way: you can't sometimes be everything to everybody. Right, and that's unfortunate, you know, because again, like for me, you know, and I've said this to you before, I would bend over backwards and love doing anything to help young people.
Right.
But me personally, I don't do adults well. You know?
Right.
I don't, you know. I mean, I respect them and I engage with them and all of that, you know, but If a young person wants to come, it's like, you know, Jeff, you know, can you help me with such and such? I'm there. Now, if an older person came, like, hey, Jeff, can you do it? I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, what you been doing with your life, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, oh, gosh, all right. You know, I may still help them, but I'm a lot quicker yes to young people than I am to adults.
Yeah, that's the way it was with me, too, when, you know, my mom wanted me to be a teacher because, you know, falling into, that's what she wanted to be, but she didn't do it. So she tried to force me to go into it. So I ended up getting into the calling that God has placed on my life and, you know, went into criminal justice. But, you know, I did had the opportunity to teach at a shelter workshop. And I also had the opportunity of teaching in the regular school setting. And I'm like you. I'd rather teach those people in the shelter workshop than to teach those people in the regular setting, because at least I know they had maybe a slow development, but they could be teachable. But these kids in the regular school system, I would have ended up in prison with them, Jeff, because they were just so disrespectful. You understand? I was like, oh, no.
But Linda, I tell you, you know, I always wanted the harder, most difficult ones, kids, right?
Oh, okay.
And I did, you know, because, like, for example, I'll tell you this story real quick. So there's an alternative school here in Charlotte, right, high school.
Right.
So some, you know, my organization and whatnot, so we would go into the alternative school and do mentoring sessions with the kids and whatnot. So we go in first day, you know, and you know, of course, the young people, they don't want to be there, you know, anyway.
Exactly.
So we sitting down and we introducing ourselves and all of that. So there's this guy, one of the kids, he comes and he's like, so let me ask you a question, talking to me.
Uh-huh.
He said, so let me ask you a question. He said, what would you do if I hauled off and I'm going to change the verbiage. It was he used a little bit more stronger verbiage than what I'm going to use right now. But he said, what if I hauled off and hit you? I said, well, that would depend. He said, depend on what? I said, how long it took for you to wake up? He said, what? He said, wake up. So you gonna hit me? I was like, he said, you can't hit me. You know, this is a school thing. I said, yo, let me tell you something here. We in this school, but you lose that privilege as soon as you put your hand on me. I said, so you hit me. I said, I'm gonna try and knock you out. So after you wake up, then we'll decide what's gonna happen next. So I say that to say this, right? So he's challenging, you know, to try and see where he can go with all of it. So, you know, that kid and I wound up, you know, we had the best relationship, and he had to go to court, you know, on some charges that he had and whatnot. I showed up to court, you know, and on his behalf and all that as well. And I knew the judge, so the judge was like, well, Jeff, you know, what do you think about it? I was like, he deserves another chance and all that. He says, okay, Jeff, so since you think he deserves another chance, I'm going to adjudicate him to you. I was like, well, you don't have to do that. You know? So he did, and I was cool with it. And, you know, he had to be in the program and all of that. But afterwards, he was like, I didn't know you knew the judge, and I didn't think you was going to come here to court for me and all of that. And we wound up having the best relationship for years, you know, that we stayed, even when he was gone out of the program and everything, he and I really stayed in touch with each other. And a lot of these kids, you know, they don't experience love. They don't, and it doesn't have to be all, you know, the gushy-gushy kind of love. Sometimes there's tough love in there too, but you got to show them that, yo, I'm just not in this for myself. I'm in this for you too. And most youth, in showing that love, they respond positively to that as well. And that's what he and I kind of experienced, or one of the few that I experienced that with. Mm-hmm. And so, no, give me the hard ones. I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I don't want the easy ones, but everybody has their calling. And for me, I know my pathway into these young people, and I love engaging with them that way.
I know. Well, listen, I do want to take the opportunity to thank you for doing the broadcast with me today and taking time out of your busy schedule. So could you drop three nuggets on my listeners and let them know how they can live their best life?
Okay. First, I'm going to say this. Be true to who you are, right? There's a lot of people, and even adults, you know, under that fake it till you make it, you know, type of thing. And, you know, and it's like, no, first you got to understand who and what you are and what matters to you. You know, that's the thing for me. I knew at a very early age, like what you was talking about earlier, right? I knew at a very early age, even though I was living and born and raised in the area that I was, I'd made a determination in my mind, in my heart very earlier that that's where I'm from, but that's not going to be my final destination, right? That I was going to work hard to get up out of that situation. And I didn't necessarily have to rely on other people to do it. I was about putting that work in, right? So that's what I would say first is figure out who you are, figure out your path, and trust yourself. And I almost hate putting that first because really my second is my first. For me, it's listening to him. And when I say listening to him, I'm saying to God. You know, for me, I hear God speaking to me. I do.
Yes.
And when I adhere to him and be obedient to him and listen to that word, I'm good. My problems come about sometimes when I think that I'm beyond listening to him and I try and do it Jeff's way and he taps me on my shoulders like, that ain't what I said. That's not what I said, you know, and you wind up getting into a little issue or what have you, you know, so listen and study him, you know. Mm-hmm. And God is first place in my life, you know, and you young people out there that may be tricking on this conversation, is don't get me wrong, I wasn't always that dude listening, you know, for God and all of that stuff. It's a process, you know, but I'm telling you, as a person that was in the streets doing a number of things or what have you, yeah, God is the way for me. That's what it is for me. You know, and all the success and everything that I've been able to amass to this point is solely because of him. So, and the third thing I would say is, look for someone. You know the old saying, if you're the smartest one in your circle, change your circle.
Right.
That's what I would recommend to people, right? Is, you know, if you feel like your circle, you are the smartest person in your circle, you need a different circle. You know, you need some other people that's going to challenge you and not tell you just what you need to hear. You know, you need people that's going to tell you the real, you know, and if it ain't right, you need your people there to tell you, yo, man, this here ain't right. You know, you don't need to endeavor into this, you know, and people that you can trust, you know. So those are the three things that I would say. And hard work, man. Put the work in, you know. Stop looking for these easy paths. You know, you put hard work in, wonderful and glorious things are going to come out of it. For sure.
Yes, Jeff. Oh, my God. I think those were the best nuggets I've heard in my career broadcasted on this podcast. I mean, you laid it out for them. And listen, listeners, y'all better take it and run with them nuggets. I mean, he dropped some nuggets on you. So, Jeff, if they want to get in contact or become part of your organization, how can they contact you through social media or
I'm on pretty much all the social media outlets. I'm on Facebook, Jeff Hood. I'm on Instagram. and Twitter as well. And I'm going to do this, and people a lot of times think that I'm crazy when I do this. Right? And yes, Linda, before I do it, I know what I'm doing, because I was doing a radio show probably a little over a year ago.
Oh, really?
And I did this, and the guy was like, yo, you know what you're doing? Like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. So,
well, I'm going to trust your words, yeah.
Especially for you young people that are out there. You young people out there, if there's somebody that you need to holler at, somebody that's going to talk to you very real, feel free to call me anytime, 704-400-6035. And the reason why I said I know what I'm doing is because the number I just put out there is literally my cell phone number.
Listen,
young people, if y'all want to holler at somebody, feel free to give me a shout. And I'm always willing to talk to you.
Now, let me ask you this one last question, and then I'm going to let you go. You said you're a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in Charlotte.
I am. Pastor Jones.
Is there a pastor there also by the name of Robert Covington?
I was with Pastor Covington on yesterday.
Tell Scratch.
I was with Pastor Covington yesterday. We were just cutting up at the church and about a number of things we were talking about. But, yes, I very much know Pastor Covington.
Well, look, could you get his number for me? I would love to interview him as well. We grew up, we went to high school together down there in Laurinburg, and I knew he was pastoring some church in Charlotte, but I couldn't remember the name of the church because I think he married a doctor or something. But if you can, Linda, it's Linda Ingram. That's how he's going to remember me.
And okay, Linda Ingram, all right. Okay.
Tell him I need to talk to him. And, oh, wow, it is just such a small world, I tell you.
It is. But yeah, I know Pastor very well. And I will relay that message and all as well. So, I definitely will get that information to him for sure.
Okay, it has definitely been an honor and privilege to have you on my show, Jeff. You just don't know how excited I am because I like connecting with people that, you know, doing what God put them on this earth to do, and that's what my podcast is about, letting my listeners know you don't have to lay in stuff. You can get up and be whatever you want to be. It's just like
that
you think
correct.
You just need to put the hard work in to get there, okay?
Yeah, and be obedient to him. That's right.
Right. Definitely have to put God first. Without God, you are nothing. So that's another nugget you need to take. With God, you are nothing. Definitely establish a personal, intimate relationship with him, and all
that's
is well with you. The sky is the limit. I'm telling you. Okay, listen.
Well, look, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, prayers and wishes all the best for your radio show to continue. And so glad that you was able to invite me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the job I do God just sends so many blessed people across my line. So I'm one that definitely take advantage and let them get their business out there because in the world we're living in right now is, you know, they need to hear something positive, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So broadcasting
all
from
right.
Shawnee Radio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download the Shawnee Radio app and leave me a voicemail on this show. Tell me what you thought about the show, and you can even leave me a voicemail on some topics you may want to hear on my show. Like I said, here on my show. Also, my book is out, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. Go to lindamonroe.com, get your copy. I'll send you a gift with that. Also, if you don't know how to read, I'll read it to you. Again, Jeff, thank you. I want to thank all my listeners for listening to it. So definitely take Jeff's nuggets and run with it to live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad Detail, Terry Ingram, Senior CEO and Owner. Have Wills Will Clean. Until next week, be well, stay blessed. The best is yet to come, and God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day, Jeff, and thank you, thank you.
You too.
Thank you again.
No problem. You take
All
care.
Right. Bye-bye. All right. You do Bye-bye. The same.
Completely redesigned, Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.